When I lived in Baltimore, I quickly learned that if one Baltimorean was introduced to another Baltimorean, usually the first question the two would ask each other is, "What school did you go to?" Now, they were not asking each other what college or university they had attended. No, they were asking what high school the person had gone to. For those who grew up in Baltimore, it seemed to me your high school became a very significant part of your identity. Where you went said something about you, about your family, about where you lived, and really about your social status as well. It was a clue to your identity. In the small towns in the Deep South where my relatives have lived, the question is not what school you went to, but the question is, who's your mama and who's your daddy? For in those communities, who your mama or your daddy was, well, that provided a whole host of information about your identity to those who were wondering who you were. Although there is certainly a lot more to us than what we do for a living, nonetheless, in the U.S. at least, one of the first topics we tend to discuss when we meet new people is what profession they are in. Knowing one's profession, we think, gives us a window into understanding and into the identity of the other. Knowing what they do for a living, we are able, we think, to deduce a lot of information. How much education they have, their economic status, their interests, their skills, for example. But of course, our profession isn't who we are. And I don't believe either that where we went to high school or who our mama and daddy is really the core identity of who we are or the most central part of who we are. The story from Matthew that I just read, and today's remembering of our baptismal vows, I think, is a significant clue to the answer of what is actually most central to our identity. In Jesus' day, there were Jewish leaders who were practicing a washing ritual, which was meant to be symbolic of a person's cleansing from recent sins, so it was done over and over. John the Baptist was one of those leaders who advocated and who practiced a washing ritual, but his take was a bit different than others in his day. John believed that the kingdom of God was about to arrive and that it would arrive in fiery judgment. In order to pass through those waters of fiery judgment, John advocated a once and for all cleansing, a washing, a baptism. Now, John apparently had quite a following. People were coming from near and far to be baptized by him, and among them was Jesus. But when Jesus showed up at the River Jordan and asked for John to baptize him, John balked. Jesus insisted, and John gave in. As a sopping wet Jesus rose out of the waters that day, Matthew tells us that the Spirit of God descended, and there was an announcement of Jesus' identity. "This is my Son, the Beloved," God said. And immediately after that, Jesus found himself in the wilderness, struggling with temptation, and following that, he taught and healed, he loved and he welcomed, he lived out his identity as beloved Son of God, living out his identity as God incarnate. Some years ago now, a neighbor stopped by my house to tell me that he had found a dog wandering in his yard. He described the dog to me, and then he said, "This dog has a collar on it, So I figure someone must care about it. Did I have any idea who it belonged to? He said. Sadly, I didn't know who the dog's owner was, but my mind quickly flipped back in time, and I recalled a day in which I discovered that my German Shepherd's collar had vanished without a collar. If she had slipped out the door of my house and anyone had found her, they wouldn't know that someone cared about her, that she had humans who loved her and wanted her home. But I realized that that collar was more than simply a sign to a stranger that she was loved and treasured, cared for and claimed. In some sense, it was also a sign of a set of obligations. Wearing that collar proclaimed my obligation to feed and care for her and to make sure she was safe. And I think in some ways that collar was a sign to her of her obligations to her humans, things which included coming when called, if she felt like it, sitting when I said sit, if it wasn't too much trouble, playing nicely with other dogs, and not eating the sofa while I was at work. The day, though, that I discovered her collar missing, I immediately went out to the store, bought another. And I remember as I put that new collar on her, I sensed that her muscles were relaxing a little, making me wonder if that collar not only told the world that she was claimed and loved and treasured, but maybe in some ways it also told her the same thing. Of course, we're not dogs, and the waters of baptism are not a collar. But nonetheless, sometimes objects, events, and actions become signs and symbols that point beyond themselves to a greater truth, signs and symbols that remind us of a greater truth. And so it is with the waters in the baptismal font. Baptism is a powerful symbol of God's claim on us, thus of our core identity, that we are a member of the household of God. Although the water sprinkled on our heads soon dries, and perhaps the warm and good and fuzzy feelings that we feel as we stand around it to be baptized will fade, the waters of baptism are an indelible mark, a sign, a symbol to us that we are beloved children of God forever and for all times. Once claimed by God, we are always claimed by God, whether we are in the waters of chaos, the fires of pain, or the struggle to make sense of our lives. As baptized people, we can know that God is there, loving us all through it. Even when our faith feels dry and dead and lifeless, and the questions we have overwhelm the easy answers we were once given, even then, our baptism assures us that we are still claimed, still loved, still treasured, and there's nothing we can do and nothing that will happen to us that will ever change that. In baptism, we are claimed by God as God's beloved children. And as we rise out of those waters, God's call takes hold, and we find ourselves seeking anew to make good on the promises made right here at the font, to turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world, to be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying His word and showing His love. In these waters, we are claimed by God, and here we are also called by God. As a baptized people, we are called to love and to welcome as widely and as wildly as Jesus did. We are called to care and share the abundance we have that God has provided liberally and without restraint or worry for tomorrow. For we are claimed by God. Who are we? What is our core identity? Here at the font, we find and we remember a true answer. We are beloved children of God, all of us, claimed, called forever. Amen.